There's a physical reason for this series of talks on prayer. I gave you the brochure, not only this month's brochure on unification, but also the generic brochure on spiritual mind treatment for those who haven't studied science of mind, so that the topic of unification could be within the context of the form of prayer that we're studying. And if you open to the inside of the brochure, it spells out the five steps of treatment. Last month we talked about recognition, which is God is. And Gail did an awesome, masterful treatment in her opening prayer for us today, where she began by saying something like, "Here we are basking in the sweet well-being that is God." And that was her recognition of God. And then she did something really remarkable that I hear in treatment all the time, but hadn't really noticed specifically until I listened so carefully to the prayer that Gail was doing, because what she did was recognize God in everything there is. She unified everything with Spirit and created a bridge from the recognition of God anywhere to the recognition of God here. And then she did unification of herself and all of us. But that bridge that you created, Gail, was thrilling to me. It was so beautiful. The way that I often do it when I pray is I say, God is everywhere and always, and God is right here and right now. Because sometimes it's easier to see it out there and then recognize it in here, particularly in moments when we're not seeing it in here. There may be something outside we can see where we see the qualities of God present, whether it be beauty or joy or love or light or power or intelligence or creativity. All of those aspects of Spirit are present everywhere in the universe because God is present everywhere. And wherever we can find that presence, we can see it and then feel it within ourselves. And I'm a visual person, so I use an awful lot of visual words when I talk. And others who are kinesthetic or auditory might use different words. You might hear the song of a bird as the voice of God. You might feel the presence in the clouds moving across the sky. But whatever your preferred mode of understanding, that divine energy is there. And bringing that into yourself, in the sample treatment that's in this brochure that Judy created for us, it says, it's the giggle of a small child and the awesome beauty of a sunset. Finding that that divine nature and the present everydayness of life is the challenge that is before us, whether we are praying or simply being in any moment, to love this moment, to love something in this moment, is to be the love of God right now. And as I thought about unification all month, I realized that the very form of the word sounds like a process. You know, identification is the process of identifying something. Unification sounds like a process of coming to unity with something, but the unity that we are wanting to comprehend already is. There is nothing that lives outside of God, nothing. If we really understand that, then we understand that it's only a matter of our awareness. our capacity to perceive that, to embody that, to know that, to live that truth, that is the process. The reality is unity. And then the awareness is an ever-expanding experience, because the oneness is infinite. It's eternal. And when we get infinite and eternal, then it becomes beyond time and space entirely. The consciousness of God was beyond time and space, what created time and space. So that knowing that it already is, and we are here to embody that that already is, changes for me this idea, rather than that we have to create somehow this oneness that is not. We have to merge it or whatever. And Holmes said, there is nothing to be disintegrated or reintegrated. There is only that to be revealed, which has always been whole. So we are looking to see, to understand, to be aware of the wholeness that has always been here. It's not something that has to be made out of nothing or rearranged out of what is. It's a perceptual issue. And that's what David's reading said this morning. It's about having a vision that's big enough to encompass what is. And so all the time we're looking to expand our capacity to feel, to hear, to see, to know spirit. However we do that. And the experiences that we can have are so varied. And I've been having animal communication experiences lately. And some of you have heard the story of our going on the cruise. And the brochure this month is all pictures from the cruise that we took. And one of them is a picture of me being hugged by and kissed by two dolphins. And so I want to tell you about the dolphins, because it was a remarkable experience of unification. And before I went on the cruise, I set my intention for that week to be about expanding consciousness, that it was about an experience of the energy, an experience of the wave rather than the particle. And David gave me the swimming with dolphins trip as a Christmas present, and so I had been anticipating it for a while when we got to the ship, and I was so looking forward to this day. It had been in my mind. I've had that on my list of things to do in my life for 20 years probably. And so we got on the bus, and I heard a song playing in my mind. It's a beautiful song, and I really do know the name of the person who wrote it. Karen. It'll come to me. I heard this song, somebody played it at a workshop I went to, and she had everybody in the room greet another person and sing this song to that other person and hear it sung to themselves. And the song goes, "You are the face of God. I hold you in my heart. You are a part of me. You are the face of God." And I heard this song playing in my mind while we're sitting on the bus going to the dolphin adventure. And everything I looked at out the window of the bus, I was seeing as the face of God. The butterflies, I saw five butterflies within the first minute of hearing the song. Butterflies to me are a symbol of transformation. And so it was like a neon sign going off that said, pay attention, something's happening here. And so I began to sing along with the song, "You are the face of God, I hold you in my heart. You are a part of me. You are the face of God." And I got to the dolphin adventure, and the song stopped, and I heard wonderful information about the dolphins and what they eat and what they do and why they have this center and how successful the breeding program is, and how we were going to be with these two female dolphins, one of whom had a 5-month-old baby dolphin that was doing circles around us the whole time, and the other one of whom was 8 months pregnant. And so there were these two beautiful animals, and we got in the pool with them, and they were there with us, and they love to be petted. If you don't pet them enough, they go to someone else who will pet them better than you did. So you have to give them long strokes and feel how soft and beautiful they are, and how strong they are, and how amazing they are. And they lay on their back when they are being petted, and they just sort of hang there and say, "Love me, love me, love me," and people do, and it's just a beautiful thing. And at one point, I'm petting this beautiful animal, this gorgeous pregnant dolphin, and the words of the song start in my head again. And so I started humming the song, and she immediately turned over and came eye to eye with me. Mm-hmm. Now, with a dolphin, there's only one eye on each side of their head, so it was one eye to my two eyes. Mm-hmm. But I did the same thing with the dolphin that I'd done in the workshop with people. Eye to eye, love to love, heart to heart, you are the face of God. I hold you in my heart. You are part of me. You are the face of God. And it was just this remarkable experience, and we went through the song twice, and then she turned back over and said, "Love me, love me, love me," again, and we loved her. And then when it came time to get kissed by the dolphin, not only did the dolphins come in here and touch my face, but they both came up on either side of me and put their fins around me and hugged me real close up both sides of dolphin sandwich. It was amazing. And that was such a remarkable, blissful, glorious experience. I saw Carrie right after that, and I was just sort of bouncing off walls about what had just happened. And that night, as I was meditating, I realized that you are the face of God. Is the song of the dolphin. I was hearing the dolphins before I ever got to the place, because I had set my intention to have those expanded experiences in consciousness. And I went back and looked at my affirmations for this year, and animal communication is on there. Hadn't realized that at the time. And the words of that song was the closest English language communication that I could come to the song of the dolphin. And so when I got in the pool and I heard it again, I matched it, and she matched it. And that was the miracle of the first night. And then the second night, I was contemplating this experience again, and I realized that the long-term gift that the dolphins gave me was the opportunity to tell that story to people and to say to people who want to hear about dolphins, everybody just about wants to hear about dolphins, to say to that person, "You are the face of God." That is the recognition of the unity that is what we're talking about in treatment. And we say it until we get it, and then we get it at deeper and deeper and deeper levels of experience of oneness in life. And I wasn't planning on talking about my mother. I know a lot of you have heard these stories 15 times by now, but when my mother passed away last year, I had already been sort of communicating with her at the level of oneness. When she was in the hospital and I wasn't there, she would call me and she would say, "Well, your grandfather and your dad are here today." And one day she said to me, "You know," she said, "you've been in the corner with everybody else for the last 3 days." And she said, "I don't know how you do it. You're the only living person that comes with all the dead folks, but it must be because you meditate so much that you're able to make this transition, I think it was what she was doing rather than what I was doing that was letting her see that, but I was there with her in consciousness, and I know that all of those we love are with us all the time in consciousness. And at her funeral, I said to her, "Mom, who's there with you?" And she said, "Everybody." And there was no dead or alive. There was no separate or apart. There was only, we're all together and we're all in love. And that is the truth. That is the truth as clearly as I know it, as deeply as I can possibly feel it today. And I believe I will feel it more tomorrow. That my capacity to understand that continues to grow. And I believe that Ernest Holmes was the initiator of that experience for me. That when he created spiritual mind treatment, he didn't just create a way to easily get to 68 seconds of positive thought where more positive thought comes to you. What he created was a continual affirmation of the consciousness of the Christ, the cosmic consciousness of oneness, the wholeness of all of creation, the fabric of the universe. Every time we do a formal treatment, we affirm that we know that God is and that we are that. We are not becoming that. We are not seeking to achieve that. We are not looking to attain that. We are that. And as we truly allow ourselves to know that about ourselves, the boundaries dissolve. The borders disappear. There is no us and them. There is no separation. There is only that divine energy in endless expression. And when you stand in a place of separation and you look at oneness, oneness looks so glorious. I want to be one. We feel so powerfully when we feel not that. But my truth is that having stood in the oneness, having felt the truth of that, that looking out again, what looks glorious is uniqueness. It's the capacity to be that unique, individualized expression of Source, to have gifts that are ours to share, to come into the space and focus our intention and say, what did I come to give and to receive in a more global sense? Not just for this 2-hour period, but for my life. What can I see today that I could give today? Some simple thing of a helping hand, a loving heart, a gentle smile, a word of encouragement, or a great gift to write a song or to birth a baby or to make soup. Harriet makes soup for us. Such a gift. To nurture and to love and to be God expressing in some way that only you in this moment now can do. Because each of us are that divine energy in this moment, in this place. There are things that we can do today that no one else can do. And that reminds me of the story of the Allied soldiers in World War II. And some of you have heard this a couple of times too. They bombed a church in Italy, and churches were on the do not bomb list. It was a mistake. But the church was reduced to rubble, and the soldiers who were there after in the occupation of Italy decided on their own time to rebuild the church, because that wasn't what they meant to do, and they wanted to give back to the city. And they were able to rebuild the entire church even better than it had been before. But in front of the church was a very tall, very beautiful statue of Jesus. And they found and restored all of the parts of the statue except the hands were missing. And hands are among the most difficult aspects of sculpture to do, to make them look real. And so they were going to hire a contemporary sculptor to create the hands. And they decided not to. And instead, what they did was put up a plaque that says, "The only hands God has are yours." And so what are we doing with our hands? What are we doing with our hearts? What are we doing with our eyes? What are we looking at? And what are we seeing? What are we choosing to focus on that allows us to increase the beauty of this world? Because that's what we're here to do. And the law of attraction says what you focus on increases. So if we focus on creating beauty and sharing love and doing what we can, using the gifts that we have in the best way we know how today, knowing that tomorrow we'll know a better way, and trusting that we'll see all along the way what there is to focus on that is for us to be and to do. And I don't usually talk about doing. I usually talk more about being. And so I'm not trying to say if you're not doing something grand, you're not doing anything, because if you are simply finding a way to find more peace within yourself today, you're doing something incredible. And if we can expand our knowing of this oneness, we are doing a gift, creating a gift for the whole consciousness of humanity to live in that space. Even if we only touch one other person ever in our lives, would be a huge gift to the world. So it's not about the numbers who are listening. It's not about the things you can do. You don't have to be Oprah to do something valuable today. You can just look at somebody and bless them as you go by them on the street and do an amazing gift to the planet. So, Ernest Holmes said, there is not something to do, there is just something to know. And what there is to know is unity and oneness. And then appreciate the diversity that comes from the unity. The beauty of each one, the gift each one is. To all of those you can see it in, just seeing it is the gift. And thanks. Thank you. Thank you.